This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Amidst massive breaking news here, the Pac-12 just minutes ago announcing their season is going to be canceled, with a source telling ESPN the prospects of them playing in the spring don't look good. Big Ten looking at playing spring football. They, though, earlier today had an official vote, and they have postponed their season officially as well. So those dominoes falling as they withstand a massive public campaign involving players, and it went all the way to the White House trying to convince the powers that be, hey, make this season happen. We had Coach O on, and he and other coaches and athletic directors, presidents in the SEC, they continue to look forward to a season. The ACC is in similar type of waters. But we were going to have Ross Dellinger of SI, a college football insider. He broke the story over the weekend that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were going to make this decision. He's so busy right now covering this story, Brian, he can't join us.
Yeah, he's going to circle back with us at 5:20 today. So he just asked if he could he can write his stories, get them up and get going. But yeah, we'll have him on to kind of fill in the blanks for us at 5:20 today.
Excellent. I did see him tweet moments ago, all eyes now on the next domino, which could bring them all down, the Big 12, he says. So the Big 12 might be the linchpin or the key to having a season, because maybe with three out of the five, you could really bring it together and have some semblance of a national champion. But with two of the five, maybe.
If you're LSU, wouldn't you not mind if the Big 12 opts out? You're like, yeah, go ahead. Whittle them out. Let's just play SEC only. If we win, we defended the title. I don't know who this guy is, but he has a blue check mark. His name is Stephen Godfrey. Okay. He said, yeah, two SEC sources just told me the same thing seconds apart. We need the Big 12 to stay committed.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Big 12.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why they are so important, but I'm sure that will be revealed here in the hours or days to come.
You think it's a PR thing? If the Big 12 says they're going to play, then the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, that's three of your Power Five. It's the majority. So if you get down to two, it's like, well, wait, the majority of the Power Five is saying they don't feel like it's safe for the student athletes, and you guys are? What are you doing?
Oh, yes. It's an over 50% type of thing.
Uh-huh.
I could see that. You know, we have some sort of authority out of three out of five. 60% of the conferences decided it was okay. You guys over there, do your super careful thing. But, yeah, when three out of the five and your next-door neighbors are one of them that are bailing, I think that might be it, Jeff. That's really interesting. So the last we heard, they're still looking at the 9+1 model here in the Big 12, nine conference games and, you know, one outside of it. That allows them to keep the Big 12 ACC preseason mega matchups in line and $100 million, I believe, in total coming in. What are you guys feeling about the Big 12 right now? How locked in are they? Are they closer to where the Big 10 and Pac-12 are, or closer to the SEC? See right now,
man, I have no feeling whatsoever on what they're going to do.
They've been kind of quiet.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, this kind of feels like it felt with basketball, where it's like domino, is there another domino coming? But I don't know, because, you know, it's like, it's something that Scott Frost was talking about yesterday. And this guy, he just laid out the numbers. He was like $80 million, $120 million, yeah, like talking about what the school makes. And so while they're going to pretend that the players are amateurs, I think that the money is pushing them really hard, because, and this is dumb that this is how we do things, and we're the only country in the world that does this, but our, quote, amateur sports are funding the university building new buildings and libraries and all the other sports, in our amateur sport is doing that. And they, I think a lot of schools are going to be in trouble if they don't get those checks.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I would worry about if I was the Big 12 or say the SEC or, you know, the ACC in this regard is that you've had some coaches, the two really the big coaches that have stepped up. It, down in Austin, he's full on, let's go play. You know, let's get guys in here. Let's remember his attitude about it. Whereas, you know, head coach, you know, Lincoln Riley, though, at Oklahoma has been, let's look at this spring model. You know, it's a possibility. He's been a little bit more open to about playing potentially in the spring. And so you wonder if, in fact, that he is, you know, he's in a situation right now where he's being more open-minded, where those others are saying, no, we need to play. The University of Texas, you know, they have money. They could do what they need to do, but, you know, and survive and be fine. But I just wonder if the attitudes of the other coaches. I know in the SEC they're lockstep that they want to play. I just wonder, though, in the Big 12, do you have coaches that are more willing to step back and say, hey, wait a minute, there's a good model for us to do this in the spring if we can. And yeah. Oklahoma being the one guy that is kind of pushing that direction.
It just feels so weird with guys that are going to make millions of dollars pushing for this, for kids that are going to make nothing, right? And I know the kids want to play, but there's a vibe on that whole deal, and I don't want to oversimplify it or boil it down to that only, because the players could choose to go away. But, like, you know, Ed Orgeron told us last hour, they're going to listen to their medical people, right. You know? And if you're genuinely going to do that, I'm okay with it. But I really wish the kids had more of a voice, and I really wish they were being significantly compensated, because in some ways it is combat pay, and your family's health could be, you know, jeopardized as you go home for Thanksgiving or something.
My only experience of playing college football myself and understanding that, you know, there's risks you take, and we never had to deal with coronavirus, don't get me wrong, but you know, there's things, and there's lasting memories. You know, I mean, I played football in the 80s, way back in the 80s, and till this day, the teammates and stuff like that still talk about things that we did. And to some kids, that's all they got. They might not. Yeah,
man.
They might not ever. The college experience for them is to be on scholarship and graduate and to say, hey, they go back to an alumni event and, man, Broadus, you're looking good. How much weight you lost? You know, all this stuff. And you just kind of that interaction you have, and that's all I have when I go back to Baton Rouge. And I can understand kids just wanting to play, but I also understand if my own son was involved, I would have to ask a lot of questions, you know. And I've had a life, my whole life has been in football, you know, and it would be very hypocritical of me to say, oh, well, hey, just shut it down. No, I don't want to do anything. You know, I mean, I see this both ways right now. I can understand what parents are having to go through with their kids. I really do.
Yeah, those are the conversations I'm having with parents, is they're very understanding of both perspectives on this.
You have to be. You really do. And, you know, if you want to give kids the opportunity not to play, you know, if you want to say, listen, we will let you, well, you can stay on scholarship, you know, you can still go to school if you don't feel like you want to play. I think the number of kids, you know, we've seen some first and second round kids already opt out, but those are kids that have futures in the NFL. Those aren't the Brian Broaduses of the world. It's the 85th guy on scholarship, you know? That's kind of where, you know, if you've got a future in the NFL, by all means, you got to look out for yourself. But a guy like me, man, I love the experience. That's how to this day, I still love the experience.
I'm wondering what's going on in Nebraska right now. Is Scott Frost burning up the phones trying to get some non-conference games going? Is he going to challenge the Big Ten? Could there be, you know, court hearings?
Well, yeah, they're one of the teams that – one of the last Big Ten teams – well, you know, they came into – they don't have a great history in the Big Ten, you know, like the Michigans and the Ohio States and long-term. I mean, they might just say – I do feel like, guys, this is going to be the first step. Nebraska, other teams are going to – Iowa maybe step up and say, this is now – we're going to see the end of the NCAA. We're going to do Power Five stuff. This is maybe the boulder now going down the hill, and all these other programs saying, you know what, we have to play. We need to play. And if the NCAA and them are not going to let us play, or these conferences are not going to let us play, then maybe we need to think about doing something else.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a really interesting situation, and I think every university is probably going to have their own priorities. But if your coach, your athletic director, and your president are for it, and your kids are for it, and other conferences are playing college football, but we can't, I think that's the logical step, is to say, let's leave the conference, or let's take it to court to leave the conference. Jeff, yeah. What do you have on that?
If you're well, I'm just wondering, let's say you are – I'll use one player as an example. The Big Ten has canceled the season, projected top three pick, top five pick, maybe number one overall pick, Justin Fields, yeah. Ohio State's quarterback. Their school is not going to play football in the fall, and if I'm him, there's no chance I'm playing in the spring.
Yeah.
Like leading up to the combine and the draft?
Right.
And I get hurt, what, 3 weeks before the draft? No, I'm not playing in the spring. What's The Rock up to right now with the XFL?
they don't sound like they're coming back anytime soon.
I know, I'm appealing to The Rock right now. Hey, dude, if you want to be an opportunist, here's your opportunity. You get the draft prospects that aren't going to get a chance. Justin Fields has been a one-year starter. Team's going to be a little hesitant. They wish they get to see him for another year of college football. Hey, Rock, fired up. Those will be guys that are making the decision, fully giving the consent to, I'm choosing to do this. You're going to compensate me. I'm going to put football film together for an NFL draft. Let's get it.
Yeah, I think it is a heck of an opportunity for the XFL. I don't know what kind of capital they have or what kind of a risk, but I would take all the money you plan to pay legit networks to put you on their TV shows. I would take all the money you plan to renovate stadiums, all that, and just spend it on getting football played for these college kids and you know, other pros that are looking for an opportunity right now. And I'd do it in a bubble. It'd be safe. And I'd be, you know, thinking we have to have our mind on what if the opposition falters? What if the NFL can't get through their season because they're not in a bubble? And you have players needing to get paid that are willing to walk across the street. That's your opportunity. You're not going to beat the NFL by just putting together a quality product. You can't even get good enough TV ratings to keep the lights on in normal situations. You need to take advantage of their, I don't know what it is, naivete or lack of caution and take a gamble. This is a gamble that the NFL falls on its face. And we're going to have our bubble ready for college players, for pro players, anybody looking to get a check off this game. Could Russia save us from the Rona? Is what? One of the headlines.
What?
A vaccine.
They're working on it.
Oh, okay.
It still has to complete final trials, raising concerns among experts at the speed of its approval. But the Russian business conglomerate Systema has said it expects to put a vaccine into mass production by the end of the year. It's one of the top things in the news today. The WHO has come out and said, yeah, we've approved six vaccines for
the
final
band?
Trials, and the Russian one is not one of them.
The band, yes.
The band?
Yeah.
They're picking?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pete Townsend. Dr. Okay. Pete Townsend, yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, they're fired up about this today in Russia. Head of Russia's sovereign wealth fund hailed the development as historic. It's a Sputnik moment, they called it over there, comparable to the Soviet Union's 1957 launch of Sputnik 1.
Scared the hell out of all of us, right?
This one, Mr. Dmitriev says it's going to hit shelves and be known as Sputnik 5. So if you're going to be looking for a Rona vaccine, go with, you're going to be asking for Sputnik 5.
You taking the Russian vaccine?
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right, I just want to see if anybody taking it.
I'm drinking Russian vodka maybe, but
I'll tell you this.
The vaccine.
Vodka.
Whatever
they promise me that they're not up to no good, if they promise, I'll take it.
Putin said his daughter has already been vaccinated by this.
Then I'm in.
He said,
let's get it.
He said, maybe I'm speaking out of my rear here, but I think that's, yeah.
I bet he did say that.
But I want it out of the same. I want it out of the same bottle and the same needle that you gave to your family. That's what
yeah,
I
they
want.
Could send out different versions of it. This is the American vaccine. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. You're not going to give me the one that sends my brain waves
as
back
he's
to
rubbing
your
on a cat.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. For sure. No, the people that make fun of the anti-vaxxers, I figure they're going to be first in line on this. So, you know, give it if all of, like, 92% of people are pro-vaccine, it's like into the single digits that are the anti-vaxxer type people. So I figure that's good enough to get herd immunity. Better safe than sorry, you know, guinea pig theory. when we come back, Nation. Mike Fisher is set to join us. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. He has the latest on the Cowboys and Mavericks, and that is next in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now to have Mike Fisher join us. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. And he's a must-follow for Cowboys and Mavs fans. Segments brought to you by My Computer Career, by Get Mortgage Ready, and by Rubin and Associates. If you are struggling with credit card debt and you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll talk with you personally. Take control of that debt. Eliminate your stress and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple, confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, Rubin and Associates. How the heck are you, Fish?
Outstanding, boys. One of the things I really like and admire about the NBA, and it's one of the reasons I'm a fan, is, you know, you get in that big corporate world and you got billionaires, and then the next thing you know, the cogs in the engine move really slowly and the red tape gets in the way and it becomes, you know, politics in the sense that, well, yeah, I'll vote for your bill. If you'll vote for my bill, then nothing ever happens. Boy, the NBA makes things happen. And general, they just do, I think, a terrific job of evaluating the landscape. And then regardless of what tradition says or what we did last year or what about how the way it was in 1950, they go. And the latest example of this is an idea that sounds like something that the handful of us here in G-Bag Nation might have just been cooking up when we were leaning against a bar stool the other night. Why don't they have an all-bubble team? Since they voted, did the MVP voting, and I assume, you know, all first team and all that, that was based on March 1st and before, which I don't like and didn't understand. I don't know how you could exclude one-tenth of the season or why you would. I don't get it. But they went ahead and did that, and then today they announce a fix of that. The NBA is going to have an all NBA bubble team and an MVP from the bubble. And Kia, who's one of the big sponsors
Luca!
There. Well, sure, we'll get to him in a minute. So, I mean, it's sponsored, it's official, it's real. There might never be another bubble MVP, or there might. But I just love the ability to say, you know, I know we did it this way back in 1957, but that doesn't mean we have to do it that way today. And so props to the NBA for recognizing a really cool and fun and smart idea. And then, yes, Jeffrey, yesterday's Maverick win, improbable as it was because they didn't have Luka and KP and Dorian Finney-Smith, that may have been the best evidence of Luka's MVP worthiness in the bubble, because in that first half, they were everything that's bad about basketball without Luka. And then the opponent kind of took their foot off the accelerator a little bit. Utah wasn't particularly motivated to win, it didn't seem. And the Mavericks go ahead and record one of their all-time great comeback victories without Luka. But the way the Mavericks looked for 2.5 quarters in that game made you go, man, Luka all by himself makes that big a difference? And then in addition to his numbers, he's top 5 in everything. He's top 3 in everything. He's top 1 in everything. The numbers in the bubble, Luka certainly is first team all bubble, and yes, an MVP candidate in there as well. And by the way, probably a top 5 vote getter once we collect the ballots from previous to March 11th too.
I don't know. Maybe you just want to take the Suns. They're dang near unbeatable out there in that bubble.
I was about to say that. Give the 5 Suns starters the MVPs. Monty Williams is coach of the year. I don't know how you could not. You know, that is the most improbable story of all, right there.
No doubt, and they're a great example. I think Sacramento, we talked about the other day, another one where there's young pieces there, and if they could just come together and mature and not pull a kid Jackson Mashburn, which is what happens part of the time. You know, guys, especially when they're all kind of young, all kind of the same age, they end up jousting for who's in charge. I like how the Mavericks have avoided that. Maybe it's the personality and part of the guys involved. Luka Doncic is clearly the leader and he's clearly in charge, but he doesn't shove it down your throat. You look at his social media account and he's writing, he talks way more about all the other guys in his team than he does himself all the time. And then Porzingis seems to be very accepting of where he's at. And then Rick Carlisle makes no secret about it. Luka is the leader of our team at age 21. So hopefully the Mavericks can avoid that fate of young kids jousting for their position on the totem pole, and the next thing you know, the whole totem pole tumbles.
It's really too good to be true at times when you think of where this basketball team was just a couple of years ago, Fish. What is their potential now as the playoffs approach? If they face the Clippers, do you think they have a shot of at least extending the series?
You know, we've spent a lot of time, I certainly have, thinking about, okay, what's the next piece they could get? Who's the third star? What if they got a star that was better than what they have? What if the third guy they add is a defense-first kind of guy? And Kenny the Jet Smith was on with us the other morning, sitting in for Sean and RJ, and he pointed out to Chiafalo and myself, why don't you guys quit being so greedy? Look at what you already have. You got a 25-year-old and a 21-year-old pair of all-star superstars. Maybe you don't need more. And so for the moment,
because the Lakers and Clippers were greedy.
Yeah.
You need better supporting cast.
Oh, I do too. I'm in favor of eventual greed. But your point, your question, and I think Kenny Smith's point is, let's enjoy this now and evaluate this now. So I still don't want to play the Clippers. I just think that the biggest trouble they give you is there's not very many players that can stop Luka or slow him even. Not many players. But that team has two and maybe even three of them.
Yeah.
And the two or maybe three guys they have, including obviously Kawhi and Paul George, are also guys that go score 30 points on offense. So they're not specialists. They don't have to come off the floor. They're as big as you are. They're as fast as you are. They're at least as athletic as you are. And they're talented on that end. So Clippers, I still don't want. What's interesting, and you guys may have broken this down, I'll text you if you need it. Here's what has to happen if. But the Mavericks could still move up to six, could still move up to five. They'd have to win this game and then beat Phoenix. And as Brian mentioned, that might be hard enough on Thursday. And then they have to get help elsewhere. The irony, I guess, would be, the horrible twisted irony would be for the Mavericks to fight their way up to six and have the Clippers down to three.
Ah.
We don't want that. So, I think Carlisle's got a habit here of not overthinking those things. Hey, let's just play to win. But that would not be a very great reward for moving up to six.
It is Mavericks and Trailblazers tonight at 5:30 on TNT. And we'll have continuing coverage leading up to that game. A huge game for Portland as well, though. So I think you're going to face a very motivated team tonight. And, you know, the Mavs rested their guys to be ready for this game. So I'm expecting a great contest and a motivated Damian Lillard coming off a 51-point game.
Yeah, General. And, of course, one of the reasons they rested, they had the back-to-back situation. And then Carlisle conceded, and the NBA doesn't like us to sit guys during the nationally televised game, which this one is. So they made that an easy choice. Seth Curry, by the way, is not going to play. He was earlier today listed as probable, but the leg giving him trouble, so he's out. Again, it would have been fun for him to go get some revenge against his old pals in Portland. And then remember this, and I know that you know this, Gavin, because you follow it. These games for the last, what do we go back now, 4 years? Mavericks and Blazers, they're always wacky.
Yeah, there's been some fun ones. Monte Ellis game winners.
Of course, Farrell.
What was it, the 2002 playoffs that Portland came back from 3-0 to force a game 7? Just craziness.
Yeah.
The Brandon Roy game in 2011 to tie it up 2-2.
Right. The Yogi Farrell game. So expect some crazy fireworks. And obviously what these two teams can do offensively is off the charts. And then, obviously, I think we all hold a little place in our hearts for Dame because he has jumped on the Skip Bayless hate bandwagon.
I don't know why
there's still any seats available, but there apparently are.
Yeah, lit them up for you. Okay, what else do you have? What else do you have going on, Fish?
Let's go Cowboys. And Brian and I jousted on this the other day. Certainly we can agree on this. College football, we're talking about a sea change now. This is an earthquake, a hurricane, and a volcano all at the same time, because you've got the players objecting to the people in charge and wanting change, and now you got the people in charge, conference by conference and conference, saying we're not going to play. I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts. So, college football in the spring, and then play in the spring, and then start again in the fall. College football players will really object to that.
Yeah, I'd say they'd have to push back the start of the next fall season if they wanted to do that, and they would lose a lot of, I think, first and maybe second round NFL players. They'd lose quite a bit of star power if they're draftable age guys.
Okay, and that brings me to a Jeffrey Kavanaugh theory, and I'd like you to expound on this, please. XFL, just go grab them.
Yeah, bubble it up. You go. Your first call is to Justin Fields, and then I'd have to go look through all the rosters of all the Pac-12 and Big Ten teams for now. But if you're a first-round NFL draft guy, teams would love to see some more tape of you. We'll pay you money. Come here. We're going to bubble you up. We're going to put you in here, and we're going to take advantage of the fact that college football can't get this done in a way that is deemed safe, and we're going to put the money in to do it. So if you want some, come get some.
And the NFL, as we've discussed, logistically very difficult to do 32 teams times 150 people and put them all in one place. It's hard to figure that one out. But Jeffrey, what you're talking about with the XFL, because we're talking about the dual goals here of providing entertainment and gathering revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're for. Well, I don't need 32 teams to do that. If I'm the XFL could have six teams.
Yep.
They can have eight teams. They can have four teams. They can have whatever they want. They're their own thing. So to take six teams into a bubble, into Las Vegas or Dallas or Houston or Kalamazoo, that's completely viable. That one, logistically, we've established we can do. For those of us who like to watch football, yeah, I think we'd watch that. I think advertisers would spend on it, and then it would help. Because the NFL is going to need some scouting help, Brian, as you've touched on. If we're not going to see games, man, this will be the most important NFL scouting combine of all time. And those people who are sports analytic guys and I didn't play the game but guys, they're going to have a field day because we're going to be more reliant on those guys than ever because we didn't get to see Johnny play.
Well, I think what's going to happen if they don't play a college season, the combine then becomes, do you do the workout still, or does it just become about medical stuff? The medical is really what the combine's all about. So if you want to come in there, you know, if you don't want to bring all the personnel to Indianapolis, then just bring the players in. Make sure you have the physicals and let the scouts meet and talk about the film. You know, maybe it's last year's film. You know, a lot of these area scouts know these kids. When they're sophomores, juniors, seniors. So
right.
They have an understanding of who's on these rosters. A good scout knows his area very, very well. Those are the guys they're going to have to rely on. But I think the combine is really going to actually turn into just medicals is what it's going to be.
I bet you'll agree, Brian. The good scouts will still be good scouts, right?
Yeah, they're going to have some misses, though. Good scouts have misses, though, too.
Yeah. Jason Garrett is speaking to the media for the first time in New York. And he offered up two paragraphs about, you know, I really appreciated my time in Dallas and build some good friendships and we accomplished some things. And then he shut it down. And you can find the story on the 105 Through the Fan website. He issued his two warmly robotic comments. And then I'll have to paraphrase, but then he basically said, I appreciate that you respect my privacy and you don't ask me any more damn questions about Dallas.
Well, that's because he was asked about the weird ending where he was just kind of hanging around the office, even though we knew that they were interviewing people to replace him, but they didn't want to fire him.
He was hunting a job there, too. He was hunting a job. Let's not act like he should have known his fate when he was standing there at Soldier Field and answering your questions. He should have known that he was not going to survive the season.
Well, yeah, but it's just a weird thing to even try to acknowledge if you're Jason Garrett because it was a dumb thing that happened. Like, it was all because Jerry was afraid to hire his friend.
Well,
like, this should have been cut off 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it was like, oh, just keep coming in until the contract runs out.
Well, he kept coming in. It's on Jason Garrett. He kept coming in.
It was all
he could
stupid.
Have said, nah, Jerry, you know, I'm going to pack my things up and go. I'll go look for another job. But they, you know, the Cowboys allowed him to finish his duties as a head coach. He did his exit interviews, you know, and after that he should have been gone, but he was the one that was hanging around.
Okay,
you know?
And on along those lines, I'm just in favor of just acknowledge it. Just acknowledge it and tell the truth and it'll go away.
There's no need to be generic and robotic. That's the thing I'm most happy about, that we don't have to deal with that nonsense anymore and that weird communication.
And rating source Sean Sharif is especially happy about it and hoping that, of course, Mike McCarthy – Mike McCarthy throws a party every Monday. We'll see. But, again, I say this as somebody, as you guys know, is friendly with Jason Garrett. I've told him this to his face, and I'll say it again. Coach, you are doing yourself a disservice by not letting people know that you're a human being, that the reason you hung around the Star is because you wanted to keep the job in part.
But, Mike, they say that's why he's his consistency. That's the one thing that people will always say about Jason Garrett.
Right.
He was consistent. His message wasn't up and down. You know, he didn't get too high. He didn't get too low. You know, that's what everybody you talk to at the Cowboys, trust me, being in that building for 8 years with him, I saw it firsthand.
I know.
I mean, the message never changed. And he takes pride in that, you know, good or bad.
He should. But I go back to another old friend of mine and an old friend of G-Bag Nation, Michael Irvin, who told me a long time ago, I wish I could do an imitation of it. Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. And Irvin was talking about, you know, a lot of his off-field behavior. You know, he's so charismatic, and he loves to have fun, and the ladies love him, and everybody loves him. And what a great strength that is. Oh, and it's a great weakness, too. Well, that's Jason Garrett. His balance is a great strength. His calm demeanor is a great strength. But his inability to just veer out of the color outside the lines just a little bit.
He's never going to do that.
Well, and therefore, it's a great weakness.
Yeah. Well, he never was.
Appreciate you as always, Fish, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys.
Yes, sir. Salute to you. The Texas Rangers Player Show is coming up. Nick Solak is going to join us here on your home of the Rangers. Let's go. All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for the Texas Rangers Player Show. It is brought to you by Globe Life and Chick-fil-A of Dallas-Fort Worth. And here is Nick Solak joining you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, we are doing outstanding. Of course, we got to start with the play Sunday, the home run off the glove of Joe Adell. That's what I'll call it, a homer off a glove. What are you calling it these days?
Run, Gavin. I'm calling it an error now because that's what they changed it to, and that's what stuck. So it's the four base error, but you know, it was a run scored, and it was a winning day. So I'll take the win over the homer.
You got the job done, I'd say.
I don't know, Nick. I feel like, okay, if he had dropped it and it hit the wall and you end up on second, sure, that's a two-base error. But if I get to do full home run trot, I want credit for my home run. Is there an appeals process? What can we do about this?
Yeah, we the team already went through the appeals process. The scoring decision was upheld. I don't know. Baseball scoring can be weird sometimes. It's you get a lot of people arguing both ways. So, they're sticking with error, and, you know, that's what it's going to be. So I'll have to hit the first homer, actually over the fence, I guess.
Those fences a little too far out there? I mean, what are we're opening the roof just randomly one night. What are we doing, trying to see if the ball will go further? What was that all about?
I'm not sure. I think just to, see what the park was going to play like, with the roof open. I thought, when we opened the roof, I thought it was going to, feel hot on the field or be hot, down there because it's so hot outside. But it was really comfortable. So I don't know if that means that they're going to open it more or less, or I'm not really sure. Roof open or closed, we're going to go out there and play.
Were most of your teammates comfortable with it as well?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't hear, that it was too hot or anything. I think guys liked it open, but, we'll see.
Was it any different picking up the ball? I mean, you've had several games, you've had it closed and standing in center field. Did you notice anything different with the sky or with the roof being open or closed?
No, I mean that was really the first time we've had it, open at that time of night. During our summer camp, we played a night game with the roof open just to get used to, playing in those conditions. We played a little bit earlier, not the 8:05 start, but it took a little bit of getting used to. But it's just like playing anywhere, without a roof.
It's Nick Solak with us here on the Fan. Sorry, Jeff.
Nick, I told JD when we were talking to him last week that you're one of my favorite players to watch on the Rangers because it feels like baseball has gone so much in the direction of striking out and hitting bombs. And you don't strike out a lot, you don't walk a ton, and the ball is going to be put in play. Do you feel like where does that come from? Were you coached differently than a lot of these kids where I feel like it's so specialized into swing hard, launch angle, if we strike out, it's okay, and you don't do that?
I just try and put together good at-bats. That's really, what I've always prided myself in is having a good at-bat, making the pitcher work a little bit, and hitting the ball hard somewhere. I try to keep things as simple as possible, and that usually allows me to have success and put the ball in play and, find gaps and every once in a while, really get one and put it over the fence. Trying to hit a home run never works. That's when the strikeouts come. So it's about doing less and, just kind of letting my swing and the ball dictate where the ball goes.
Okay. So Nick, what is your favorite thing to do on the baseball field? What's your favorite thing to accomplish out there in the game?
I love a home run. I love a stolen base. I really love just, seeing how fast I can get down the line. That's one of the few things that, you can control in this game, your effort level and your hustle. And, that's just my favorite thing is, busting it out of the box and getting down to first or, legging out a double that, might not be a double or scoring on a double from first. Those times when I'm on the bases and just kind of running as hard as I can.
Nick, I wanted to ask you, we watch these games every night, and when you get on base, is there mask etiquette that you have? I mean, do you have to be, guys, it seems like sometimes they pull them up, sometimes they don't. Sometimes, is there something, do you have to consciously think about when you're in those situations, like, okay, wait, I'm a baseball player. Now I've got to put this, I got to pull this thing up. Is there something that you guys have been told you have to do, or is it something you have to kind of come up with on your own?
As far as like being on the field, it's more on your own. I think, when you're on the field, you don't have to have the mask on, when you're between the lines, but, in the dugout, anytime you're not between the lines, you're supposed to have your mask on. So that's, trying to remind yourself just, after an at bat that, maybe you get out and you're back in the dugout. You might be not so happy with yourself for a couple of seconds,
sure,
but you got to remind yourself to, put your mask on and, kind of try and keep your distance a little bit from the other guys too.
When you get on base, you don't have to think about that either. I've seen, with Frazier and stuff, when a guy gets on first with him, he immediately puts on the mask. I didn't know if that was something that you guys, or just, it's just kind of like if you get on base and you're standing around others, you have to subconsciously do that. I didn't know that.
No, yeah, you don't have to. Some first basemen are wearing the mask, some aren't. Some base runners are wearing the mask, some aren't. The first and third base coaches, those are probably the guys that come
sure
in the closest contact. Other than the fielders, they always have their mask on. In between the lines, it's kind of, not mandatory to wear the mask, but you do see some guys wearing them.
It's Nick Solak, Texas Rangers, left fielder, center fielder, right fielder, second baseman, maybe shortstop, third baseman, first baseman. Haven't seen him play catcher and DH with us on 105.3 The Fan. If you introduce yourself to somebody, you're like, oh, hi, my name is Nick. I play baseball. And they say, hey, what position do you play? What's your answer?
All over the place. Kind of that utility role. It's changed, last year playing third and DH and mostly, and then this year, playing mostly center and left and, a little bit in the infield when Ruggie was hurt at second, And then, I got my first inning at first base in the Rocky series. So, I guess my position's just all over the field.
Hey, Nick, speaking of first base and third, what's it like having this guy Todd Frazier on the team? He's hitting all the time. He's dancing in the clubhouse, I see. This guy looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, he's a blast. Awesome guy to be around on and off the field, you know, in the clubhouse. Brings a ton of energy. Messes around with guys a little bit. Keeps us loose. You know, and also has had a really long, successful career. And, you know, we watch video of the hitters that we're facing every day in our hitters meeting. It seems like every single day there's a clip of Frazier, you know, getting a hit off the guy we're facing that night. You know, just to show how much success he's had in this game and to listen to him talk, you know, about how he's done it and how he's done it for so long is a, you know, really, really cool thing to have in a clubhouse.
Who's your most annoying teammate?
Most annoying teammate?
Somebody's annoying. Come on.
No, I don't think anybody's too annoying. I'm trying to think if anybody's even annoying at all. I know me and Trevino, we talk a lot, and we're always goofing around with each other. Our lockers are you know, close together. We're really good buddies, but we kind of give each other the business too. So
that reminds me of something, Nick, that I have to ask you about, because I won't say if I have or haven't ever played golf with anybody that plays on the Rangers, but I have heard that Solak says no gimmies on the golf course. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I don't believe in gimmies. I also never really golfed.
I heard. Okay. So here's this is the way I heard it, is that Solak says no gimmies. And then I hear an update about a week and a half later, because I was like, oh, man, is he really good? And I was told, no, he's awful. He just picked up the game. But he plays no gimmies. Then about a week later, I hear Solak quit golf. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. So when when the season got shut down temporarily, you know, after spring training, and I was up here in Dallas, you know, working out at the stadium, and we'd go, you know, we'd work out like 4 days a week, and we'd always have Wednesdays off. So Alex Bird, one of our hitting coaches, and Trevino, we'd go every Wednesday. We'd go, and we went for about 2 months, and that was probably the first time I'd golfed in. You know, I've been probably, you know, when I was younger a little bit here and there, but it was the first time I've golfed like every single week, and I was not very good. And then as soon as like the season was, you know, getting ramped up, we were getting ready to get back into summer camp, that was it. I was done, you know, at least maybe till the off season.
Nick, appreciate the time so much. That was very entertaining and insightful. Give them hell tonight there against the Mariners out there at the Globe. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes, Nick Solak, right here on your home of the Rangers, brought to you by Globe Life and Chick-fil-A of Dallas-Fort Worth.
There's nothing wrong with gimmies, okay? We're not Tiger Woods out here. And for appearing on today's show, Nick's going to be receiving a $100 gift card to Pluckers with 7 DFW locations. Pluckers has the best wings in Texas. There's nothing wrong with gimmies.
I feel a little guilty about it. I like the gimme. It's like a day off work. I like it, but there's a little bit of guilt in there.
I'll admit that, like, if it were going to be a birdie putt, I wouldn't take a gimme.
You got to putt a birdie. Yeah, you got to putt a birdie.
But,
yeah.
Like, if it's like you're
a double, I need the double. Thank
18
you.
Inches away for a double bogey, I'm like, thank you. Yes, I'll take that.
If you're playing for money, too, is another thing. Too. Yeah, if you're courtesy. Playing for money, yeah, that's a courtesy right there. You put, even if it looks like, you know, because I'm a good guy. I'm one of those. I'm like, yeah, it's good. Just pick it up. You know, I like to kind of move along. But if you're playing for money, you got to putt stuff out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, Rona roof theory for you. I think they're trying it with it open to put fans in there. They want to know if it'd be too much of an inconvenience for the players if we just have the thing open. What do you think?
Okay, I like the conspiracy theory, but I think that that was 100% a JD analytics thing
where they're like, get the offense going.
Yeah, where they're like, oh crap, we made it 410 feet and 407 feet and the ball's not leaving the yard. John, can we open the stupid roof and see how far the ball goes? We got to do our calculations to figure out if we got to move the fences in.
I think it was 100
because JD even said, like, the players didn't even know we were going to open the roof.
Hey,
like, that was all the analytics team trying to figure out, do we have to move these fences?
The roof's ugly anyway.
Yeah,
just take the thing off.
I'll tell you what, they got to figure out how to keep hitting the ball in the corners. Have you ever seen a stadium play where there's more crazy angles, balls bouncing all the way back to the infield and stuff?
Willie, run out of the box, Willie. We had an inside the Parker if you were running. He thought he hit a bomb ski.
We got to go. Spittle sent me a text about this yesterday, especially at the top of the hour. But it was a good conversation with Nick, and I thought a good conspiracy theory to put on you there. Some good Rangers talk daily at 3:40 and baseball stuff. When we come back, Nation, around the NBA, a rumor-rooski that's super juicy. Are teams trying to set up a LeBron upset in round one? Could this really happen? It's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.